Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Brian Hansen. I'm with the NDSU Langdon Research Center, and my colleague in this study was Eric Erickson from North Central Research Center. And the research topic this morning is canola seeding rate and cultivar hybrid influence on spring canola and performance in North Dakota. Just a quick map here to show you where we're at. Langdon is located in the northeast part of the state. We're about 17 miles from the Canadian border, and the North Central, as the name implies, is in the North Central part of the state. See, the map is canola acres by county in 2014, and most of the canola acres are in the top two tiers of counties in North Dakota. North Dakota has about 1.14 million acres a year, and Cavalier County, where Langdon Research Center is located, has about 250,000 acres a year, so we're kind of the hub for canola production. And as Jack Brown mentioned, actually maybe we're just a part of Canada and extended down from all the acres. The southeast part of the state in this area has really turned into corn and soybean production over the years, and a lot of the soybean acres has crept into the northern and western part of the state. You hear about the North Dakota oil boom and the Bakken. That's kind of in that region there. So why are we looking at canola seeding rates again? Anytime you have a new crop or a new crop moves into a new area, probably one of the first things that is looked at is seeding rates. So when the Canadians developed canola back in the 70s, there was a lot of seeding rate studies that were done in the mid-70s and mid-80s. And of all these studies I've looked at, for the most part, we didn't see any difference in yield between 2.5 and 12.5 pounds per acre. And the optimum always seemed to come out around 5 pounds an acre. In addition, NDSU lines as well went with a 5 to 8 pounds per acre rate. But in the mid-1990s, canola took off in North Dakota, and we started a seeding rate study in 1999 to 2001. We had 8 locations across the state where we looked at seeding rates, cultivars, and also seeding depths at that time. And in that study, instead of using pounds per acre, we went to more of an apples-to-apples type thing. So we used pure live seeds per square foot, and we looked at 5, 10, 15, and 20. And also since that time, market prices have increased. They were 8 to 10 cents a pound. Now they're about 16, which is kind of low right now. They've been up to 20, 25 cents. In that study, we used open pollinated in a hybrid line, although they were not herbicide tolerant. And the seed prices have gone up from $3 to $5 an acre, almost up to $11 an acre. So we kind of wanted to reevaluate some of the things we had looked at earlier, see if there's any differences with some of the new economic constraints as well. The studies was done at the Langdon Research Center using our best management practices for canola overall. The study was, I started in 2013 and again 2014, so we had 2 site years from Langdon. It's conventional tillage up in our area, and we used the narrow row spacing. The trial was a randomized complete block and a split plot arrangement where our hybrid was the main plot, and we had high class 955 was a Roundup ready line, and Invigor L30 was the Liberty Link line. And the Liberties and Roundups are generally the more popular in our region of the state. And for the subplot seeding rate, we went from 3 to 15 pure live seeds per square foot. In the earlier study, we had 5, 10, or 15, or 20, but the focus here was on lowering the seeding rates because the seed costs have gone up. Minot, we've had the same type of arrangement, except there was a spraying error, so the Roundup did get sprayed out of the trial. So essentially, we had 2 separate trials that were in the randomized complete block design with the same seeding rates and the same hybrids, but they were just analyzed separately, and we had the May 21st and the June 11th seeding date. Just a little bit figure here looking at seeding rates in terms of pure live seeds per square foot, pounds per acre. And you can see our target is 3, 6, 9, 12, and 15. And we did like a farmer would do. We got different seed every year, had a different seed lot. And you can see some of the differences in the seed lots for 2013. We had 89,000 seeds per pound, so you can see that you'd have to plant a little more plants per acre to get the number of seeds you want on a pure seed basis here. And if you just look overall of the rates, if you multiply that times the seed cost, about 1072, you can see how much the producers have to spend an acre. So it makes a big difference if you're going from a 6 to a 12, almost $30, $35 an acre. And seed sizes can vary quite a bit. I do run the variety trials at Langdon, and this year we had 44 entries, and they did range from 63,000 to 126,000 seeds per pound, with averaging about 99,000. So it is a big consideration for producers. At Minot, they had a no-till drill they used, and Langdon, we used conventional till. We had a spinner divider-type units. And these were just some pictures early on with the canola. We were looking at the two-leaf stage here. And you can see at the three, it's quite thin, not too many plants. And it continues to get a little better. You get up to 12 and 15, and you can see we have pretty good stands. Just looking at about the five-leaf stage, still we had quite variable. Maybe we didn't quite get the seed distribution that we liked. And sometimes that's a problem on bigger air seeders too. And as we got higher seeding rates, again, we got better stands or faster ground cover, which is important for most crops. If you get that ground covered, you can use more of that sun's energy to help the crop along. And then when we got to about 50% flower, if you were out in the field and you look at these pictures, it's really hard to tell from a distance what the seeding rate was. And this demonstrates, again, the ability of canola to compensate for low seeding rates. So we're going to look at some of the results. I guess first I'll talk a little bit about canola, some of the effects we had. There was no effect on hybrid for any of the traits we observed, and there's only two interactions with hybrid and seeding rate. And there's a few interactions with environment times hybrid and environment times rate, but they were generally for some of the agronomic traits. So for some of the tables here, we're just going to average it over hybrids and look at seeding rates. So you can see our targeted seeding rate and the actual percent stand or emergence stand we had, and you can see we're very close to our target. In both years, we had about 90% emergence. In both years, this is kind of atypical. Usually you can see between 60 and 80%. In that earlier study we had done, we saw an average of about 68% emergence. The low seeding rate, it took a little bit longer to flower. It's thinner, the plants branched out, so we're going to delay flowering, which delays base maturity. Percent cover, as you saw with the pictures, we had a lot more rapid cover at the higher seeding rates, and we did have a little bit higher height in this particular instance at the lowest seeding rate. If we look at seeding rate effects on canola oil, the F-test was non-significant. We only had differences in oil percentage between about 46.4%. This is the same type of trend we saw in the earlier study we did. Some years you may get higher oils at the low seeding rate or vice versa, but we really could never see any consistent pattern, both in that study and then the study we had this year. Seeding rate effect on canola yield average over hybrids. Well, first of all, we had very good canola yields the last 2 years at Langdon, and that area farmers had good yields as well. This is the same kind of trend we saw in the earlier study. I should point out that the 12 here was basically raised because of this past year. In 2013 data, although we don't have any interactions, that number was about equal to the 15 seeds per square foot. And that we saw that both with the 955 Roundup and the L130. So we don't have any differences between the 9 and the 15, and the 12 and the 15 are the same. But we definitely have lower yields at the lowest seeding rate, although they were not significantly different than the 6. So we look at the seeding rate effect on net return per acre. So we took the yield we had on the previous slide and multiplied by an average market price of 17 cents a pound, and minus the seed cost, which we used at $10.72 per pound, and that does include the seed treatment. So basically, we did have that spike again with the higher yields at the 12. If you look at these numbers right here, they're all very similar to another. Now you can see the F-test was non-significant at 5%, and it was about 20% confidence level there. And at the lowest seeding rate, we did have the lowest return. So even though these are non-significant at a 95% level, I would argue with some of you producers in there, you saw this on a consistent level, you would probably tend to want to plant here more than go down to that range. Now this is some of the work from Minot we did, that Eric did over in Minot. Again, we had two separate trials because of the spraying error, so we had it May 21st with the Liberty and June 11th. And you can see the percent emergence rate here was not up to what we had before. It was about 55 to 60% emergence. But the seeding rate at the three, we had a little bit better percent emergence. And we saw that in the other studies where you get plants are further apart, you get less interplant competition, and generally you'll get a little bit higher yield. The oil levels in this particular study were generally a little bit higher at the lower seeding rate. But again, as I mentioned before, if you do these over several sites and several locations, you can get some varying results that we've seen in the past. Seeding rate effects on canola yield and net return. For the Roundup Ready planted at May 21st, we didn't have any significant differences in yield, with the optimum numerical value being at about 9 seeds per square foot. So looking at the net return, if the yields are the same, quite obviously we're going to get a higher net return at the lower seeding rate compared to the higher seeding rate. Looking at the June 11th with the Liberty Link, probably didn't get enough time in that late a planting date to have the plants do a lot of their branching, setting flowers in pods, so the yields were quite a bit lower compared to the higher seeding rate at 12 to 15. And then, again, in this instance, we're going to get the higher return at the higher seeding rate, and my LSD value there should be about 21. So in summary, I guess we could say, generally, some of the agronomic differences between the traits, such as days to flower, days to mature, some of the plant height, sometimes we'll have a day or two difference, or you see a little trend. But for a producer out in the field, this is really not of any practical value to them. net return and yield trends. I guess first off, I would like to, I think I need a few more data points. We got just two sites from Langdon and Minot, just the separate trials this year. I'd like to see a little more, a few data points from the western part of North Dakota. But the trends were similar to what we saw in an earlier study where the optimum seeding rate was about 9, plant for 10 per foot squared. We didn't see any difference significantly between 9 and 15, although with that kind of anomaly this year, 12 plants, that it was a little bit higher. Producers, if we're with the seeding rate at 9, if we get our typical 70% emergence, I think typically we're shooting for 5 or 6 plants per square foot would be an optimum. If you go lower than that, you're going to lower your seeding costs, and maybe a producer can look at their planting conditions. Are they planting when the soil's warm? Is the forecast look for nice weather for the next week? You could probably lower your seeding rate, get a higher percent emergence with a lower seeding rate. Some years we get this big rains after we plant, 2 or 3 inch pounder, that's when we have problems with soil crusting and lower yields. So, thank you.
Very good. Do we have time for a couple questions?
Jim.
I'm just curious what you think the effect of going to wider row spacing. You know, if you looked at seeding rates, but if you look at row spacing, it would be another way to just change around that same rate, but then you just have more inter-row competition between.
And you might lower seeding rates at that point, because if you plant too high, you're going to get a higher mortality. But we have looked at least 6 versus 12. That's all the higher we've gone. But we haven't seen any significance there. Anything I've seen, if you go into 30 or higher than that, you're probably going to reduce yield. Just you're not using all the sun's energy and capacity, or don't have enough plants.
Another question?
Yes? Well, the studies we conducted in 99 to 2000 as well, I guess I'd probably see the same type of thing as far as the yield trends would go. Yeah, same kind of trend. If you got the good stand at the beginning, you know, if the drought didn't affect your stand at the beginning, otherwise a higher seeding rate, if you had more plants, might have done a little bit better.
Thank you. One more frontier.
Was there an interaction between your seeding rate and rate?
Well, at the 10% level, the only one we saw was that for oil between the hybrids. So other than that, it was, and that was in the previous study too, and other ones I've looked at, there's very little difference between, or very few interactions between the cultivar and the seeding rate.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.